Hey everyone, welcome to Book Hype. I'm Jen, and I'm joined by Karen, Kristen, and Brittany. Hey guys, how's everyone doing?
Hello.
Hey.
Are you guys trying to stay warm? Has it been cold where you are? We even had snow the other day.
No snow in Ohio yet, but it is rather chilly. It did freeze the other night, and I had to scrape frost off my window at work at 10:30, which was not fun.
No, that is not a good time.
But we have not had, like, accumulating snow yet, so...
We did already. We had it about 2 days ago. It snowed for my commute to work, and I was like, this is not cool. And it stuck to the ground for about a day, and then it melted away. But still, not okay. I don't like it. Brittany, did you guys get snow?
No, I was in the perfectly green zone of the New Jersey map, which was nice. But it was really cold and raining, so I kind of wish it snowed, because being just wet is gross.
I would rather have snow than cold rain, if that makes sense, because it doesn't feel as cold when it's snow. But I totally understand. All right, so let's talk about what we've been reading, because now that it's starting to snow in our general locations and get really cold, it's time to snuggle up with some good books. So, Kristen, you can tell us what you've been reading, but you're not to tell us too many details about someone like you, because I've not read it yet. I just want to put that out there right now. All right, go ahead.
Absolutely. Well, first in my list is Keepsake by Serena Bowen. This one came out in October. It's the third book in the True North series that is all about those Vermont farmers, and I love the Shipley family. This book wasn't about a Shipley. It was about Zach, who's like their ward. He's like this poor guy who escaped from a cult in like Iowa and made his way to some other former cult members from the same place that escaped to Vermont a long time before. And he makes it to their farm because he like looks up their name on like in a phone book or whatever and finds them. And so... he ends up at the Shipley farm and has been working there for a long time now. And this book was all about him and his, you know, his adaptation to the world. Like, you kind of still see that there are things that he doesn't know about the real world because he spent so long growing up in this crazy atmosphere. And him meeting this lovely girl named Lark, who has had her own adventures in life. She just had gotten back from a Guatemalan trip that ended badly, and it's a really good story. I've really loved these books from Serena Bowen. I mean, I love all her books, but this series has been really, really great. And there's just something about them. There's a little more heart there, I think, than I found in some other books that I've been reading lately. So love it, love it. I highly recommend Keepsake. Next is Fire in You by Jennifer L. Armentrout, which you can read my review. It's on Hypeable. But this book, it's kind of bittersweet because it's the end of the Wait For You series, which was one of my first new adult reads. It wasn't the first, but it was one of them. And I really just love this series. They're all kind of standalone books, but they fit together. The couples kind of overlap a little bit, so you get to kind of see them grow through their relationships as you are reading about new characters. And Fire in You is a really good book. I don't know if I like it as the final book, because while we saw people a lot throughout the story, like, it didn't... I don't know. I don't know if I love the way it ended. For everybody, but it was still a good story, and I love the story for the main two characters. It's just, I think I kind of expected more of like a sayonara for everybody at the end, and I don't know if we got that. And finally, the book I have not yet finished, so I cannot truly spoil you anyway, is Someone Like You by Lauren Lane, which is Lincoln Mathis's book, and anyone who knows anything about the Stiletto or Oxford books knows that Lincoln is like... he's the one. He's the one we've all been waiting for. And she's put it off and put it off. I think she was trying to make us wait. But he has not disappointed so far. This book has been pretty great. And I have learned his secrets. And yeah, Lincoln is pretty awesome. So I don't want to say any more than that. But you will not be disappointed, I don't think. Lincoln is pretty fantastic.
Good, good. Because you know I've been waiting for that one.
I know it. I couldn't wait. Long time. It came out on Monday and I started it Monday afternoon. Like, I had to give it at least start it. Couldn't wait any longer.
All right. So, Brittany, what have you been reading?
Well, when I haven't been watching Gilmore Girls on repeat, I was listening to Talking As Fast As I Can, From Gilmore Girls to Gilmore Girls and Everything in Between by Lauren Graham. And my copy from Barnes & Noble, which I pre-ordered, took a week and a half to get here. Well, no, like a week. Exactly a week to get here from the release date. So, of course, in the meantime, I downloaded the audiobook because I'm impatient. And that was the best decision I ever made, because for 4 days, it was just me and Lorelai Gilmer sitting next to me in the car, driving back and forth to work. And you have to listen to the audiobook if you love Lauren Graham or just Gilmore Girls in general, even Parenthood, because you just feel like you're hanging out with Lorelai Gilmer. Or I didn't watch Parenthood, so the Braverman that she plays on that show. But it was amazing, and I highly recommend it. My copy did eventually come, so I got to look at all the nice pictures that she was like, see, picture of me standing with jacket. She did a really great job of introducing the photos. And then there's a conversation in the book that happens between her and her father, and she actually recorded a conversation between her and her father, so that was interesting and different. And then I read Lucky Bastard by Joe Buck, because I'm one of the seven humans in America who actually likes Joe Buck, and he's just so unapologetically like cocky and just himself, and I really liked reading his book because it's exactly who he is, and I like him because he's unapologetic about everything, and his stories are very self-serving and self-flattering, but there are also some great stories about his childhood and upbringing and going to work with his dad, who was also a famous sports announcer. And then I started Northanger Abbey again for our Jane Austen special, and I still love it, so that's reassuring.
All right, awesome. And Karen, I see that you didn't have time to read any books this week.
Yeah, continuation of last time we all talked, I'm still reading Born a Crime by Trevor Noah, or listening rather. I got it quite a bit further, and I am in the last chapter, so kind of rounding it out, and it's still amazing, still love it. We're getting to a part that I think is going to be very difficult to hear about, but very interested in hearing about it nonetheless. So yeah, hopefully soon, guys, I'll be back on track, because it sucks not being able to read as much, but just been too busy.
All right. The only book I've managed to read this week was Accidentally on Purpose by Jill Shalvis. It's part of her new series. And it comes out, I think, in January. And it's one of the couples I think lots of readers and fans will be interested in reading about. It's Archer and Elle, and it's a really fun story. It's actually set in a city, and most of the novels I've read by Jill Shalvis previously have not been set in a city. So I'm really excited for this series and the way it's kind of playing out with this group of friends and stuff. So it's a lot of fun. Definitely pick that up when it comes out. All right. So we did a little holiday exchange of books, I guess, our Secret Santa books. So we basically had someone pick names out of a hat for each of us, and then we had to give that person a book to read. So Brittany, do you want to go first for the book that you have to read and how you feel about it?
Sure. So my book that was assigned to me was Losing It by Cora Carmack. And I know exactly who gave it to me. because she also told me to read this book over the summer, and I did. So I'm going to read the second book, Faking It, for our Secret Santa exchange.
Nicely done. So are we guessing who our Secret Santas are now, or are we waiting until the episode that we talk about them?
We're waiting.
We're waiting, but I know exactly who gave me mine, and I think every single Book Hype listener knows who gave me mine.
All right. So you're excited at least to read a book in that series. So it's good. It was a good choice.
I am. I saw it and I was like, yes, I've gotten this recommendation before and I followed through on it. So I will read the second book because the library did not have the second book. So I will actively search for it.
Nice. All right. Karen, how about you?
Surprising no one, least of all me. I was recommended a Jane Austen book. I was recommended
Well, you'll
Persuasion.
Be well prepared.
Right? Like, I was actually so stoked for this. I was recommended Persuasion by Jane Austen. And considering we have to read some Jane Austen for later in the month, I was like, dude, two birds, one stone. Like, I'm totally into this. I actually don't, like, I read a one or two sentence synopsis about the book, so I would have, like, a general idea of what I was getting into, but I literally know nothing about this. It's not Pride and Prejudice, where at least I'm sort of familiar with it. Or like even Emma, I'm kind of sort of familiar with the general plot points and the dynamic. This, I have no idea. So that's going to be kind of fun, actually. And I, who knows, I might own it somewhere. I'm weird because I own several Jane Austen books and have never read any of them. So, you know.
Karen.
I was preparing myself a long time ago for this moment, so.
It's because every time we talk to you as a collective group, we're like, Karen, you have to read Jane Austen. So I feel like you collect them. You just don't actually open.
Yes, I am a book collector.
Oh, goodness. All right, Kristen, how about you?
I was assigned The Only Thing Worse Than Me Is You by Lily Anderson, which I can't say I had really heard of before I was assigned this book, but I looked it up and it sounds very interesting and I am very excited to get into it as soon as I find it because none of my libraries, and we have talked about my library card collection, none of them have it. Like, I think one of them had it and I requested it, but I don't know if I'm going to get it in time. So I may be buying this book. We'll find out. But I'm really excited about it. It sounds really interesting. And
My book was The Borrower by Rebecca Mackay. And it's about a librarian who has this boy who comes into her library and she finds him there. And she sort of kidnaps him / gets kidnapped by him because he doesn't want to go home and they kind of go off on this what seems to be an adventure / creepy road trip. I don't know. I just kind of glanced at the summary really quick. It does sound really interesting to read though, so I will be picking this one up so that I can read it and report back to you all on it. Alright, so this is our news episode and there's a lot of news. Most of it is about adaptations, which tends to be a theme lately with book news. And then there's a couple book things that we can talk about. But let's get started because some of the most exciting book news, I think, or adaptation news for us this week was that they have finally cast Simon in Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda. If you guys have seen Jurassic World he was in?
World, yes.
Jurassic World. He was in that, and he was also Ben in The Fifth Wave, if you guys caught that one. So Nick Robinson will be playing Simon. So ladies, what do you think?
He's so cute. I think that he oddly resembles Simon in my head, which is really helpful. I didn't particularly love his character in Jurassic World. That's no fault of his own. You're not really supposed to like him too much just because, like, he's the older brother and, you know,
he kind of pushes his little brother's buttons and stuff. By the end, obviously, he kind of comes around and they have some sweet moments, but like never really particularly cared for his character in that movie. But and I haven't seen The Fifth Wave, but I'm really hoping he can play up the cute side of Simon and really make us fall in love with him, because it's so easy to fall in love with a character in the book, and I just really want the movie to reflect that.
He very much resembles the Simon in my head as well, Karen. So I'm actually really excited about this too.
Cool.
Yeah, I think he's an interesting choice, especially because he's not, I mean, yes, he was in these two really big movies, but his role wasn't like epic in those movies. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like he was the star of the show. So I think it's really interesting that he's kind of like, people know him. Oh yeah, I've seen him before, but it's not like you have this ingrained vision of who he is. So I think he can adapt to play Simon, and you're not going to be stuck with this like image of the other characters that he's played in your head, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's sort of
absolutely,
like,
yeah,
like going into all of this other what if casting news, especially going forward in Fantastic Beasts. It's like you want more of an unknown because you don't want a face from all of these other either franchises or movies in your head. And I think he's a great blank-ish slate to put Simon on. So it is exciting. I love casting.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, you mean like Grendelwald being played by Johnny Depp,
which is the most ludicrous thing
on the face of the earth.
Need to talk about it. He's so old.
It's just wrong. It's just not okay. I just need to throw that out there. Anyway. Oh, on a different note, and I totally meant to mention this earlier when I was discussing the books I've read. Today in the mail, I got the very highly anticipated and long awaited for the second novel from Becky Abertalli. It's called The Upside of Unrequited, and it goes back and it's set in DC, from where Abby came from, and it's about these two twin sisters, Molly and Cassie. And I've maybe read the first three chapters already since I got it, because I couldn't help myself, and it's fantastic.
I was very jealous when I saw you post about this,
it's everything that you would want it to be. Like, it has that same vibe, except where you have a girl's point of view this time. And basically what the story is about is that she is, she's a twin. She's a little overweight, and she's had like 26 crushes, but never been kissed, because she doesn't believe in like wanting to be with a crush because she's terrified of rejection. Whereas her sister is the complete opposite and also a lesbian, and it's her twin. So, like, it's just got a lot of really quirky elements to it, a lot of different things. Like, I've only read three chapters, mind you, but, like, there's a lot of different stuff that goes along with it. And, again, Abby, that was in Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda, these are the friends that she left behind. So we hear about her right away and how she left, and then it kind of gets into Molly and Cassie's story. And it's told from Molly's POV. So it'll be fun to read that. Hopefully I'll have it done by the next time we record. So we'll see. But I like this guy as Simon, and I can't wait to see like the rest of the casting. Because now we have Simon, we also have to have Blue and like, you know, Abby and the other characters that are super important. The next item on this agenda is probably the second most exciting news this news cycle, and that is Lin-Manuel Miranda will be producing and composing music for the King Killer Chronicle adaptation, which is by Patrick Rothfuss. Two of the three books are already out. It's basically an adventure that follows around Kivoth. He's an adventurer and a famous musician, and he tells the story of his life to the chronicler, which is Devon Lockies. And basically this is going to be a film and a television adaptation series, which is kind of crazy. You're going to get both. So I don't know if it's going to be like an introductory film and then the rest of it will be done on TV. Like, I don't know. But any music that can be done from Lin-Manuel Miranda has, you know, I'm okay with it. Ladies, Karen, what are your feelings about this situation?
Strange. Just because, like, of course, anything Lynn does, like, I'm there, sign me up, like, already in love with it. But I literally have never heard of this series before. So I have no knowledge going in. However, it sounds interesting. We do know that the movie will be an adaptation, I assume, of the first book, and then the television series will, quote, expand on the world. So it sounds like they're doing... I kind of likened it to the way that they set up Game of Thrones, in that you... Like, they adapted the books, and now they're thinking about going and doing a prequel, which is pretty cool for fans of both the books and the television show, but also a little backwards. Whereas this way, I think it's kind of cool that they're already anticipating that this could possibly be popular for them. And rather than backtracking in a way, I think they're trying to set up the whole world as this sort of like multimedia thing right from the beginning. And I think that is really smart. It's very risky, but with Lynn attached, and considering Lynn is so passionate about his series, he said that this is the book, these are the books that are reread the most in his house. Can you go wrong? Can you go wrong when you bet on Lin-Manuel Miranda?
Right. And it says that he and Rothfuss are working together to develop the new characters and storylines for the TV show. Like, that's insane. That's a lot of, like, really good, like, creative power in one place. Do you know what I mean? Ladies, Kristen or Brittany, do you guys have any thoughts about this?
I've heard of the author. I've heard of Patrick Rothfuss, but I've not ever read any of this or been in, like, I've never really heard of the King Crown, you know, whatever. So it's a big mystery to me, too, but I'm sure Karen won't let me miss it, so... I'll report back.
A truer statement has never been said.
It also, did you guys notice that it also says he's optioned the story for stage?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's just... Karen's like, oh, yeah, I'm on top of it.
Oh, boy. That's going to be intense.
I feel like any project that he has his hands on has end stage in, like, very fine print. Like, you know, it's just any contract he signs.
It's now a requirement.
Yeah, there's an option to throw it up on a stage.
So, and is really anyone going to deny him that? Like, let's be real. Is anyone going to be like, no, that's not a good idea, Lynn. Let's not put it on the stage with your name on it.
Yeah, at least not for the next 10 years or so.
Yeah, yeah. Broadway will become this place where you can never get a ticket if all of his shows are on at once. I think this is really cool, and I like the idea of it, of like this traveling adventurer who's a musician and tells his stories, and I think that's really fun. So, and I know there are lots and lots and lots of people who are in love with Patrick Rothfuss's work. That's a lot of S's to say, kids. So I think this is going to be a really interesting thing to see kind of come to life and how they develop it as they move forward. So. And then the third book isn't out yet. So the first two books, The Name of the Wind and The Wise Man's Fear, are out. But The Doors of Stone is not out yet. It's still a working title. So let's hope this doesn't become another Game of Thrones situation where whatever they're doing outruns the actual author because, well, he can't get his stuff done. So anyway, let's move right along because there's more adaptation news to talk about. So let's talk a little bit about Anne Rice, because The Vampire Chronicles, which was part of The Interview with a Vampire. You guys may remember that movie with Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt as vampires. That now wants to be a TV series, and it's in the works. And Anne Rice would love your feedback on this issue. She also, I noticed, I saw this article, she would also really like Matt Bomer to be a part of it. And do I hear anyone saying no to that? Didn't think so. So have you guys ever read any of her vampire books? I feel like we've talked about this.
No, I have not.
But I've seen Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's seen it.
Not I, said the fly.
You spoke too soon, Jen.
I should have known that was going to happen. I don't know what I was thinking. Okay, so new homework for you guys.
No vampire. More homework. I have Jane Austen homework. It is all the homework that I can handle.
You have had Jane Austen homework for like months on end. It's not my fault you're late in handing in your assignment.
Sounds like a teacher.
That is my teacher voice right there. The teacher voice. You're given plenty of time and an extension. No more. Your
don't
time
remind
has come.
Karen, or she'll start calling on my overdue homework, and it's a longer list.
It hurts my heart.
Karen keeps giving me homework.
I feel like you need to create a chore chart for Kristen when it comes to her homework. And she can earn stickers for
reinforcement. Maybe we should help each other do our homework, Kristen. I mean, that wouldn't really work. But, you know, in theory.
Yeah.
We need to set short-term
goals. Is she going to read to you?
I would. I love reading.
After we get through December. The new year will be about catching up with all of the homework Karen has given me.
Oh, boy. Yes. I already feel a resolution that's not getting done.
I'm going to read 1984. She gave me this homework a long time ago, and it is on my Kindle. I have it there in audiobook form and ebook form, and it will get read. I just keep putting it off. So,
yes,
in 2017, I will read 1984.
I would have never given you 1984 for homework. I apologize on Karen's behalf.
It's because I watched to apologize. That book is friggin' amazing.
I watch Big Brother, and she watched Big Brother because I told her if she watched it, I would read 1984. And she did, and now I have to read 1984.
And now you're just slagging a little. Got it. All right, so back to Anne Rice, because she's feeling a little neglected. Her and her son Christopher are developing a pilot script and a detailed outline for open-ended series, faithfully presenting Lestat's story as told in the books. Complete with many situations that readers expect to see, we will likely begin with the vampire Lestat and move on from there. So I think part of it is I don't think she really liked the film Interview with a Vampire, if I recall correctly. She didn't feel like her Lestat was portrayed appropriately. So that she really wants to just push a television series where she has the control and that she can make it happen. So she says, over the years, you've all told me how much you want to see a Game of Thrones style faithful rendering of this material and how much you want the series to remain in my control. Well, I've heard you. I've always heard you. What you want is what I want. So she's going to go ahead and start working on that, which will be interesting. I think a lot of these books that are, say, significantly more edgy or and things like that have found a really nice home either on Netflix or on Stars. I mean, if you look at the things that Stars is doing with Outlander alone, I mean, it's phenomenal. So I think something like this would fit on like a Stars or a Netflix or a Hulu or, you know, whoever's making that run of series like that. I think that would be better than a cable or a they couldn't do network TV, I don't think.
Yeah.
But I think it would really make it on one of those kind of platforms.
And not only that, but there's just a lot more opportunities for authors to take their time and shop it around and do what they want to do with it. So I kind of applaud her for that instead of just handing it off because someone is like, oh, I can get us in at this network. There's so many platforms, like you were saying, that she can take her time and settle with what she likes and who she trusts, which is an awesome place to be for an author who does want to adapt their work.
Yeah, and I think that these platforms are just allowing way more creative things to happen and that you can keep the material closer to the source because you're not constrained by, you know, a rating or a time frame or any of the things that you would see with traditional platforms. So mm-hmm. I think that's really opening up how an adaptation can be presented and how it can remain true to its source material in a ways that other platforms just don't allow. So that's kind of exciting, even though I don't know if I would necessarily watch it, but for those fans, it's a very exciting moment. So, Karen, you kind of touched on the Game of Thrones prequel that they're doing. Is there anything else you wanted to add to that?
Just that it's ongoing. I honestly don't know much about it. I watched the show, but I haven't read any of the books, and I don't really follow the news. I kind of just watch what's put in front of me.
Right.
And see headlines and stuff like that. But I think this is pretty interesting, and I noticed that in the article, you know, George R. R. Martin does say, like, he wants the prequel series, and he says, there's a wealth of material there, and I'm still writing more. And I think for people who have fallen in love with not just the characters, but the world and the high quality that the show has presented, which is a huge selling point for me, at least, because it is such an expansive world, and the sets and the costumes and everything are so well done, that, yeah, give me a new story. Let me live in this world a little bit longer. We know that Game of Thrones is only going to last for 2 more seasons, and they're going to be shorter. So don't make us wait too much longer, because people are going to want this sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I think they are going to have to stay on the ball with this one. Otherwise, they're going to lose the momentum of what the show is. You know, especially what I think is super interesting about the show at this point in time is that they've now run out of actual written material. So everybody watching the show is getting something that they have absolutely no idea is coming. They have no information because there is no book to base it off of. And so I guess it's kind of like a double-edged sword, because you have these people who have faithfully read all the books. And so they read the books, then they watch the show, and they know what's going to happen. Well, now they're in a place where they can only watch the show, and then they might have to go back and read the book. And have you ever been in a place where you've seen the visual first and then gone back and read, and you're like, wait a minute. And it's just been a little off because it's not what you were expecting. Whereas if you read the book and then go see the movie, you always know that the movie's going to be different. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I can watch a movie, then read the book, rather than vice versa. It seems like a weird thing to do to me. And that's probably just me. I'm kind of weird that way.
I've done it in reverse before. Like, I can't think of any examples right now, but I have gone and seen a movie and then come home and read the book. Again, can't think of anything, but you know, it more or less, like, if you see the visuals before you have, like, the idea of the book and the novel in your hands, like, I think all it does is give you, like, a framework. Things that change, you can almost make the characters that you know from this show or the movie. Like, you can see them doing these different things. It does make it harder when you go back and rewatch the show or whatever, because things are missing. And you're like, wait a minute, I've seen that scene. It was here, but it wasn't, because it was in your head. And you saw it happen, but it's never actually made it to screen. It's always an interesting game to play with movies and books and them, you know, adapting to each other. It's like, what order do you do them in? Which is better? Is there a right answer to that question? As someone who read the first 3 Game of Thrones books and knew what was happening in those first 3 seasons and now is being surprised, I very much rather like being surprised. it's more fun, I think. I liked the first book and the first season quite a bit, but after that it got kind of really predictable, and I like that now I have no idea what's going on anymore.
Well, that's good, because I'm not sure everyone feels that way. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the prequel, if they're going to base it off of his written material, because there are no, like, I don't believe there's any, like, actual books in talk for a prequel. So it'll be interesting to see how it kind of all plays out. All right, let's move along and talk about Corman Strike. As you guys know, this is J.K. Rowling's pen name book that is being turned into a TV show. So we got our first 2 images from the Corman Strike set. One is of the actual actor playing Corman Strike, Tom Burke, in his very long coat looking chilly on the streets of London. And then the second one is with him and the person cast as Robin, Halliday Granger. And so have you guys read this? Have any of you guys read these books?
I read the first one.
So does he fit the character you're thinking of? Because I know when he first was cast, people were like, eh. They weren't sure he was old enough.
Yeah, that was the first thing that really struck me, was that he looks younger and a bit cuter than the Corman Strike in my mind. But, like, physicality aside, just in these images alone, the sort of dark, brooding air that he has about him, it looks right. I'm actually very excited about this.
Did anyone else read the books?
No, I own Cuckoo's Calling, but I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, I also own it. I got it discounted at Barnes & Noble. And I'm like, I'm totally going to read these. Did not read it. Sitting on my shelf right next to The Casual Vacancy, which I also did not read.
All right, I read The Casual Vacancy. Like, I took one for the team on that one.
So I got it autographed by J.K. Rowling.
So did I.
I think we were all, well, Kristen and I were together. Yes, because we were with a huge group of people from Hypeable.
My mom was there as my proxy. I couldn't go. I was living in California.
You did to go. Oh, that's a bummer. Well, not the California part, but you missed J.K., man.
No, the California part was a bummer.
Oh, you're like, no, let's be real. It was not, no. All right, so, I mean, I haven't read Corman Strike, but I do like the look of the production quality. Like, there's always something to be said for a nice, like, do you know what I mean? Like, you feel like production looks good. So I feel like it's got a good vibe to it. So I would definitely check it out. All right, moving right along again to more adaptation news, because that's all we have today. Margot Robbie is going to adapt the thriller novel Beautiful Things with Warner Brothers. So evidently Margot Robbie has a production company called Lucky Chap Entertainment. And this is a novel that's not actually out yet. It doesn't come out until May 2017, but she's already grabbed it. And the story follows a mother and her son at a zoo where there's a gunman on the loose. It says Warner Brothers grabbed the rights to the novel, and then Lucky Chap got a first look deal and they agreed to produce it. So I feel like there's some things that have been happening in Hollywood that are really interesting. You have some very powerful women, female actresses who are grabbing up and, you know, creating their own production companies and then finding these books with very strong female leads and grabbing them up and producing them themselves and making really quality, enjoyable movies out of them. Do you guys feel like this is something that we're seeing a lot of lately? Because I feel like it's happening more often than not. Is females don't find roles for themselves, so they're making their own roles?
I haven't particularly, like, put my finger on that, but, like, if that's true, go ladies. Like, that's so exciting.
Well, if you think about it, Reese Witherspoon is, like, the queen of this. She did Gone Girl. She was, she optioned Girl on a Train. She optioned Wild.
I'm trying to figure out who's doing Big Little Lies on HBO, because she is in it.
She's in it.
Yeah,
Doing that too. Is she? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm on their site, but I don't see it. But that was the first one that came to my mind as for like newer content. Right. But I agree. I think a lot of women in particular are really starting to just grab these stories and make them their own, which is great. If you can see the material and the roles that exist behind it, then I'm all for it. I'm also all for grabbing stories about men and then putting females in those roles.
Yes.
You're like, we could change it up. It doesn't have to be specific. Yeah, I love it.
People aren't writing it. Just change the he's to she's and make it so that people can see that females can also be the leads.
I also just really like Margot Robbie. She's kind of everywhere right now and she's doing a lot of different things, and she's spearheading a lot of projects. So the fact that she's doing this, particularly with Warner Brothers, which she has a first look option deal with, is pretty cool. And she's also planning on doing a lot of stuff with Harley Quinn and doing like a solo film, maybe a Joker and Harley film, doing a female centric team up film. And I just like that she's working behind the scenes to change things as well as in front of them. I think she's a great actress and I really liked her as Harley. And I think she is a good person to then take a step back and do things like this, where she's picking up novels and making the adaptations and being a producer and kind of handpicking these projects that will hopefully be successful to, like you were saying, prove that this is a thing that can happen.
Exactly.
Yeah. And love to it. Correct myself, the Big Little Lies TV series is under Nicole Kidman's production company.
Oh,
and but Reese okay. Witherspoon is also an executive producer.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, you have these really big name actresses who are, Jennifer Aniston has a production company. She's picking up different films. You know, Reese Witherspoon has done some of the top grossing films of the last couple of years that are all have been, you know, Oscar nominated. There's been a lot of things going on with the films that she's choosing and the things that she's choosing to do. And I love that these really big, powerful books that everyone's been reading and really into that are female centric are also being films that are female centric.
Okay, so Jen was having some technical difficulties, so she unfortunately had to go, but we're going to finish up the rest of this episode. We will persevere. And the last bit of adaptation news is about A Wrinkle in Time. And have you guys been following the casting for this movie?
I've been following it, but I haven't read the book, so I don't know why I'm so interested in it.
What about you, Kristen?
I have also not read the book, and I know nothing about it, but every time they cast someone new, I hear about it, and it surprises me, because I'm like, do people, like, I didn't realize that this was such a beloved story, but people are very interested in this, and it surprises me.
Well, you might be hearing so much about it because I'm the one that's been writing all of the casting articles about it on the site.
True.
And also, Brittany, I don't know why, I've never read this book either, but I am so into it because it sounds so amazing. And some of this casting news is a bit older, but I don't necessarily think we've talked about it before. But Storm Reid is in the leading role of Meg for, and first of all, Ava DuVernay, is that how you say her name?
I think
DuVernay,
so. Yeah.
DuVernay. She is directing the film, which is pretty awesome. Female, person of color, director. And they've decided to really push diversity for this film. So
let's talk Storm about Reed. Casting Chris Pine.
Well, yeah. I mean, Chris Pine is
I just think that that's hilarious that's like the article guy. That got us here.
Yeah. Well, it was the most recent one. But I wanted to talk about all the other ones because Storm Reid is a person of color. And then and she's playing Meg, the main character. Then you've got Oprah playing Mrs. Witch. Reese Witherspoon is playing Mrs. What's-It. And Mindy Kaling is playing Mrs. Who. And then you've got, and I'm so sorry about this name, Gugu Mbatha-Raw, who is playing Meg's mother, who is a doctor. She's a microbiologist. And then, yes, of course, you have Chris Pine, who will be playing Mr. Murray, who is Meg's father. And so it's an interracial relationship, family, mixed race family. And just the fact that there are so many people from so many different nationalities coming through and a lot of very big females in this film is why I'm so excited about it.
Yeah, I want to read it because I did read in this casting post I read the synopsis of the book and it sounds right up my alley, at least a little bit interesting. This is something that I would have probably read when I was first picking up, like, what are they called? It's like the Magicians, not the Lev Grossman Magicians, but oh, So You Want to Be a Wizard series. This like would have fallen in perfectly when I was reading all of those books, but for somehow I missed it and I don't know how I did.
So there are a lot of really famous people in this movie and I'm hoping that it is very successful because it's nice to see movies like this succeed. So I will definitely be going to see it and hopefully everybody continues to be very excited about it. But let's move on to some book news now. Did you guys see the trailer for Carve the Mark by Veronica Roth?
I did not.
You did not.
I'm terrible at watching movie trailers. I'm even worse at watching the book trailers. So
that's fair. Although I did watch this one because I was very interested. I don't really know anything about the book, but it's pretty interesting. And the trailer's pretty good. Like, I don't always like book trailers because they're quite low quality and it kind of just doesn't really do anything for me. But I liked this one. And I just wanted to read quickly what the narrator says over the top of the book trailer. The current flows through all living things, binding together planets and blooming with the smallest flower. It courses through us too, the sowing abilities that magnify our strengths and flaws. Some possess the gift that heals, others the power to destroy. The current is his armor, but it's my curse. And that's pretty cool. I like this just juxtaposition of, you know, somebody is there to heal and somebody else is there to destroy and what happens between them. And there's an article that we wrote up on Hypebol where you can read the synopsis. It's kind of long, so I don't want to read it now, but I'm interested in it. I kind of fell away from the Divergent books, but I'm definitely willing to give this a chance.
I was going to say, in a weird twist of fate the other night, I actually saw this book on, I don't even know where I saw it, but I saw this and I was like, oh, she's writing another series, because I was looking up the name of the additional epilogue that she was writing for the Divergent series for my niece, who was over and is borrowing my Divergent books. And so I was like, oh, she has this other thing. I'll look into that eventually. And then here we are. Now I'm looking into it.
I mean, despite the controversy that was Allegiant, because I still haven't read it, I cannot really comment. I think we can all kind of agree she's really good with the world building. Like, Divergent was great. And Insurgent was pretty good. And, you know, from there, people have their own thoughts on Allegiant and how things wrapped up. But, like, I think she did a really great job with setting up Divergent. And I liked the story from start to finish. And, you know, so I'm definitely game to give her another chance.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
I don't know, is this supposed to be the start of a new series? Or is it, like, a standalone, like, just one book?
It says it's the first in a science fiction duology.
Ah, okay. So,
ooh, a duology.
Doing That's two. Mm-hmm. Very cool. But yeah, so I'm definitely game to give it a shot and see what Carve the Mark is about and what it's like.
Yeah. And I mean, somebody, I'm not going to say who, Andrew Sims, didn't put this in the books category, so I kind of missed it for our episode. Yeah, I'm totally throwing down on him right now. But we probably should mention the fact that there is going to be a Divergent epilogue to be published next year, and it is going to be called We Can Be Mended, and it's a short story that gives a glimpse into Four's life 5 years after the conclusion of the Divergent series. So I honestly don't know if people are excited about this or not because of all the controversy surrounding not only the end of the book, but also the films and everything. So there are a couple of people who commented here who are actually quite excited. So that's nice.
Well, I think that the Four standalone book with all of those stories told about his earlier life and then some things with Triss told from his perspective did really well and received a lot of good feedback from fans as well. So anything with Four, and plus once you have what's his face in your head as Four, you'll read anything written about him.
Yeah, that is so true.
Oh my gosh, he is so beautiful.
He is so beautiful. It's really quite unfair, actually. But anyway, before we get too distracted by that, moving on. The cover reveal for Chris Colfer's Stranger Than Fanfiction dropped, And this is the book about the actor who goes on the road with a bunch of his fans. And it says, what they come to learn about the life of the mysterious person they thought they knew will teach them about the power of empathy and the unbreakable bond of true friendship. And I know Jen, I think, before was talking about, I don't know how I feel about, you know, the synopsis for this. And it is interesting that Chris Colfer, of all people, is writing about it. But let me tell you, I love this cover. I think it looks awesome. It's a little minimalist, but it's also got this like pop of color in the middle, and I can dig it. Have you guys checked it out?
Yeah, I like the cover. I hate the concept of the book. I hate it with a passion because I feel like no matter what resolution he thinks he's writing to, it's going to come off as condescending and putting down fans. In the most, he's going to try to be respectful, and I don't think it's going to come off very well. I saw a little video of him recording. It was on his Instagram, of him recording little bits of the audiobook for this, and his tone and inflection when reading this material, I'm rubbed the wrong way, and I haven't even read it. I think it's just his reaction over time to the way fans are, and it's deservedly so. His fans are insane people. Most of them are very nice, but they can go to extremes, and so maybe he felt like he had to write this, but I love his Land of Story series. I think he is a brilliant writer in that fantasy genre. It is so good and so well done. This makes me uneasy. And I don't think I'm going to read it just because I'm just going to let him be with that other book.
Just keep him in the Land of Stories.
Yeah, and I'm nervous, it'll be fine. I'm nervous that people are going to try to kidnap him and take him on a road trip. Like, don't plant these ideas in people's heads if you think, like, if I just kidnap my celebrity that I'm obsessed with, then I will come to have a friendship with them.
Yeah, that's dangerous and scary.
But the cover's great.
Yeah, the cover is really great. I don't know if I'll read this or not. I have not finished the Land of Stories series because I'm behind on everything, apparently. But I did love the first two that I have read. I think I've read part of the third one, but haven't finished it. And I have not read Struck by Lightning, which has been on my, like, TBR list forever. So I definitely want to get on that, because I've heard that book is really, really good.
It's great.
Yeah.
Also, you need to watch the movie because Allison Janney. I mean,
I know.
And I cared about her. I should rewatch it.
I mean, I want to read that book because I've heard such good things about it before I see that movie. But I will definitely watch the movie once I see it. So, yeah,
you know,
I don't know.
Throwback, I actually watched that before I read the book. I watched it because Chris Colfer was in it, realized it was a book, and then went and read it or listened to it because he narrated the audiobook, and actually quite enjoyed that experience. Helps that, you know, he is the same person, like, that did the audiobook, that did the movie, that did the whole thing. So not too much of a divide there, but that was one instance where it actually really worked out just fine to kind of do it in reverse.
Yeah. That's cool.
Final bit of book news I'm going to throw over to Kristen.
Yes. Okay. So I've added this to the end of the doc because I'm really excited about it. And I've talked before about Mariana Zapata and her little collection of standalone stories that are... Her books tend to be rather long and they're definitely slow builds, and I love them all. I've talked about Culty on here before, I know, and I think I also talked about Underlock when I read that one. She has a new book. She announced it today, and it comes out tomorrow. I'm like...
That is insane to me.
Who do you think you are? Are you Beyonce? Like, what? What are you doing?
That is amazing.
Like, what is going on?
Title. Can that be the title of our episode? Are you Beyonce?
Are you Beyonce?
No, she's amazing, and I'm pretty sure she self-pubs, which is why she can just decide to release it. We honestly hadn't heard anything about this book until today. She talked in August, I think, is when the last post on her her personal website said that she was working on some new material, but she doesn't like to really talk about it while she's writing because she doesn't, you know what's going to change or what's going to be the main story that comes out of it. So she has said nothing about what she was working on. And then today, randomly on Twitter, we all get a cover and it's now posted on Amazon. I think it might be available right now. I tried to buy it in the middle of this podcast, and for some reason, Amazon was rejecting me. But we'll figure that out. But I'm really geeked about it. The concept is really cool. It's about a girl, she's a little older, probably mid-20s, who somehow gets saddled with two kids who sound like they're not hers, and a home and a life that she may not have asked for, and is now like kind of overwhelmed and and seeing where she goes from there. It's a really bare bones kind of synopsis. We don't really know much, but she usually keeps the good details hidden anyway. So I will definitely be checking this out very, very soon, because her books have pretty much not let me down. I've liked all of them in one way or another. So
that sounds very exciting. But yeah, I mean, totally insane that she was just like, hey, here's my new book that you guys have not any idea what it's about. But if it works for her, it works.
I have a whole tab of like my favorite authors' websites, and I check them fairly regularly. And I just checked hers like a week ago, and there was nothing. So, yeah, it's really surprising, but hey, you know, if this is how she wants to do it, so be it.
Yeah, cool. Well, that pretty much wraps up our news episode for the month of December. Let us know what you think of everything that we discussed. And, you know, if you ever come across something interesting that you'd like us to talk about in one of our news segments, please feel free to pass it along. I wish we had more than just adaptation news to talk about. I mean, there is a lot of stuff going on out there otherwise, but adaptation stuff just kind of takes over, which I know is super exciting for Brittany in particular. She loves that.
Oh, I'd live for it.
Yeah, yeah. That was sarcasm for anyone who didn't pick up on that.
Just insert sarcasm font here.
Yeah, seriously. But yeah, still very cool though, and lots of exciting things coming up. Speaking of which, for the month of December, we are going to be doing a gift giving guide next week, and we wanted to do it a little bit early in case we inspired some ideas in you guys and you had time to go out and get things for the book lovers in your life. We are going to be doing our author spotlight on Jane Austen. God, that's 2 weeks away, guys. I gotta get reading. Holy crap. And then finally, our book club book in the last week of December, we are going to be talking about Dash and Lily's Book of Dares by Rachel Cohn and David Levithan. And we're also going to be discussing the books that we received from our Secret Santas and whether we liked them or not. So, you know, no pressure or anything, but that should be pretty fun.
Sigh.
Oh, yes. And Karen, I should say that if you look hard enough, a lot of famous people have narrated audiobooks for Jane Austen. You just gotta find them.
Oh.
So, I mean, they're there. They're out there. I think there's one. Oh, I think it's the Radio Drama Collection, which is a little bit different, but I know that has Cumberbatch and Tennant on it. Really, if you can get any British male to narrate them.
Seriously. That's a win. Put that in the win column.
Yeah.
That's true. I didn't think about doing it through audiobook. I might have to do that. Although I own several copies, one way or another, of several of her books. So,
well, just imagine.
I'm
going
to try to avoid spending the money, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, just imagine, you know, a nice British man narrating it in your head. particularly Colin Firth, because he'll pop up a lot in your adaptation watching that's to come.
Too true. Okay. Whew, man, I have a lot to work on. Okay, I'm going to try not to let you guys down. I'm feeling the pressure, but, you know, I thrive under pressure, so it'll work out. Okay, so that wraps it up for this week of Book Hype. Thanks for listening. I'm Karen.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Kristen.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Speaking of Colin Firth, What a Girl Wants is on right now.
Nice. The pinnacle of his career, slash not.
It's pretty high up there.
Karen, did you know you're still on mute?
Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. I was like...
I heard you talking.
Did you really?
That's and I was like, oh, Karen's... she thinks she's on mute.
This is perfect that the two of you live together.
Oh, God. Okay.